The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by ExpressVPN. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it, Night Pan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. RyanSickler.com and TheHoneydewPodcast.com are where you can go for any and all information related to myself or the shows. All right, I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. So if you live in LA and you need musical instruments or lessons for your kids, you go to SantaMonicaMusic.com, use the code Honeydew. They'll waive the registration fee, and they'll give you one free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right. Intro is shorter now, y'all. And if you don't know what we do over here, we highlight the lowlights over here. We laugh in the face of adversity. We're showing a little bit of light on that darkness. These are strong people. These are the stories behind the storytellers. Today, first guest here for the first time. Very excited to have him on. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Felipe Esparza, everybody. All right.
What's up? What's up?
You look good and you look good, man.
Thank you, man.
All right. Wait, where can everybody get that? Please. Plug and promote everything. Your social media, your podcast, your merch, all of it, Felipe.
Felipesworld.com. FelipesWorld.com. Get my face mask, tour, merch, everything.
Great.
Felipesworld.com.
All right, and what's your podcast?
My podcast is What's Up, Fool Podcast. We're already at 315th episode.
Damn, are you really at 315?
Yes.
Holy shit, congrats. I know that's a labor of love right there.
Yes, man.
Yeah, that's a lot.
We've been doing it for a while now since, fuck, I don't even know how many years.
I know we did about 350, something like that with the Crafties. It ended up being like 7.5 years. You're in, dude. I don't know how. I mean, we did one a week. I don't know if you do more than that.
We do one a week.
Dude, that's congrats on that. There's a lot of people that, shit, I started a second one already. That's good for you, dude.
I know my wife and I, we had started one together, too. It was called Enchilada Casserole Podcast because my wife is white, yeah. You know? And that was more of a personal podcast. That one we dealt more, you know, personal stuff like the Honeydew. You know, stuff that you wouldn't talk on a dude podcast, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or a sports podcast. So we talked about it. Because my wife and I, we were trying to have a baby, you know, when we started the podcast. So along the way, like, we had a miscarriage. So we dealt with a miscarriage on the Enchilada podcast. We didn't talk about it on the What's Up, Fool podcast. We talked about it on the Enchilada. And we tried one time, and I remember going to the hospital, and we were so excited. And I had kids before, but I was not like present, you know, like a full dad, you know. So
that's what we're gonna talk about. Some of that
involved in the nothing, you know.
So can I ask you real quick? We're gonna come back to that. I'll come back to it. Go ahead. So you're at the hospital.
We're at the hospital, and then you know
how many months pregnant?
3, 4.
Okay.
Then you felt the heartbeat, pum pum, pum pum, pum pum, pum pum. Boom, boom, boom. And then you go back like 2 weeks later and there's no bump, bump. You know, there's no bump. And like the baby was already passed away inside, you know. And so we have to go through that, you know. And like having a miscarriage was like giving birth the same way, you know. So that was that time. And then it happened again a second time. Then the third one.
You had two miscarriages.
Three?
Oh, three, man. I'm sorry.
It was three, and it was fucked up. And the third one was the toughest because when you have a miscarriage, you know, you have to get the baby out because the baby is not going to live. It's already dead. You know, it's 3 months, not even a... It's a fetus, you know. It's done. And We went to this this hospital called Praise. I don't know the name of the hospital. It's in Sylmar. I don't know the name of it, but it's a Catholic hospital. And very, I didn't know that at this hospital they couldn't do the miscarriage because of religious reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
But we had to prove that the baby was already not living to take him out because, you know, that's the religion. But it was tough, man, because
so
my
wait,
wife had to get a
hospital because of the religious, the Catholic beliefs. They make you prove the baby is passed before they'll remove it.
They don't
it
do
from
abortion. They don't want to be involved in none of that. So they had to get, I don't know, man, they had to call religious people and approve it to take the fetus out. And then we found out at the same time that my wife had to get a hysterectomy.
Oh, no.
So, man, everything was piling down.
There goes the opportunity.
Yeah, man. Oh. So that we lost everything right there. Like, no more. We couldn't have a kid. And it was kind of fucked up. It was like during Christmas time.
This last year?
Like 3 years ago.
3 years
two
ago.
Years, 3 years ago, man. Yeah.
And what did that, how did that change you?
Oh, man, it just, like, made me realize we're not going to have a kid.
But you have how many?
I have three of my own already.
All right.
Yeah.
You have three kids. And
I have my kids.
How old are you now?
My kids are, my oldest kid was born in 88, I think.
So how old are you? How old are you right now?
I'm in 50.
You're 50?
Yeah.
Damn, you look Felipe. Shit, I would have never guessed that. I would never guessed that.
That's right, cocksuckers. It's not about the hee-hees and the ha-has. You're going to put up lotion.
Oh, shit. All right. So how old were you when you had first kid?
When I had my first kid, I was like 17 or 18
years old. You're young. All right. And then how old when you had your second kid?
20.
And then how old the third one?
24. I don't remember.
All right.
Man.
And are they all with the same lady?
No, different moms.
All different moms. Okay.
I have one with two kids. And one with one kid.
Okay. And you were estranged from your kids? You split from them or
separated
from them? What happened?
We were living in like in the Pico Aliso housing projects, you know? That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
Man, I had a great, you know, like I had a great childhood, you know? I had a lot of friends.
You also had a wild childhood.
Yeah.
You did.
I had a lot of friends. And we broke up, you know, I was not spending a lot of time at home, so she ended up, like, meeting someone else, like, cheating on me, like, behind my back for about a year and a half, like, really cheating.
When you already had a kid together, too?
Yeah, we already had two kids together.
Oh, two at that point.
Yeah. And I was getting into a lot of trouble, like, a lot of trouble. Like, I remember I couldn't be home a lot because something would happen in my neighborhood and they would just, you know, how they would go after the usual suspects. So they knew, like, who to go.
You were a usual suspect?
Yeah, even though I didn't do nothing.
You just get pulled in, huh?
I stood out in the crowd because I had, because my hair wasn't short. And I wore Vans instead of Converse. And I remember the police, someone had got killed right outside the house. Like some 14-year-old kid. Someone drove by and shut up the neighborhood, like, and he got hit in the head.
Oh.
I remember I ran out of the house to you know, when you're young and you grew up in a bad neighborhood or wherever you grew up, you hear gunshots, you're going to go outside after everything's quiet for the neighbors to see what happened. So we went over there to see the body, most of the neighbors, and it was just laying there.
You saw it?
Yeah, we saw it, man.
How old were you when you saw it?
20, 21.
Okay.
But then some of us stood there too long, so the police took our names. You know, we fucked up. He took our names to see if we knew anything. We didn't know anything. So the police are going the next week door to door looking for everybody in that list of their names to see who did what, to see who knows what. And I didn't know. I've forgotten that they took my name down. So I thought they were looking for me for something I already did, you know?
For some other shit.
So as soon as they opened the door, I ran, man. I ran out of the back door.
You did?
And I ran. And
did they chase you?
No. But I thought they didn't turn around. But I live in the housing projects where They had clothes hangers on top of the roof to hang up your clothes. Mm-hmm. So you go up the third floor. One in every other building, you go upstairs to the roof. So I ran to the building and I ran upstairs and I hid for a while, and then they left. Then they came back the next day, but this time when I went out the back door, they were in the back door.
They're just waiting on your ass.
They handcuffed me in the house, and I didn't do anything. They handcuffed me in the house, and it took me to see a bunch of photos. You know, I didn't recognize anybody. I didn't know anybody. I wasn't that far as a how you say, like, I wasn't a witness, you know? Yeah, yeah. I was just being nosy.
Right. There's a big difference.
I'll be nosy.
I'm just being you nosy. Know? I don't know.
I went
shit.
Out there to look. And for anybody out there who's listening, something bad ever goes up somewhere, don't stick around, man. Leave.
Just get the fuck out of there.
Leave, man.
Don't go back.
Because the cops will show up and start asking for everybody's ID. You might have a warrant. That's the day you go. So the police took me all the way to the Hollenbeck Division Police Department. They showed me a bunch of photos. I said, I don't know anything. He goes, I was watching Saturday Night Live, you know, 11:45, you know. And they let me go. They drove me back. You know how mean those police were. They dropped me out in front of everybody.
Nah. They let you out in front of everybody.
And they told me thanks.
Yeah. Oh, that's a death sentence.
So as soon as I got out, only one person saw me come out of the car. He goes, oh, fool, you snitching now? And I said, and I just put my head down. I said, no, man. I lied. I said, these fools were going to drop me off in the wrong neighborhood right now. Enemies. Right, the wrong neighborhood. So I told them, just drop me off right here real fast. I know those people. And they said, you fucking liar. They didn't believe me, so. But there was only one guy who saw me, so. So I was never around. My girlfriend would always go look for me, you know. Like, where are you at? You know, come home. And I'm never home, so. She ended up meeting somebody. And they were, like, cheating behind my back for, like, a year and a half. I never noticed. I never thought to think that somebody's going to. You know, no one has ever cheated on me before. You know, you don't know what cheating is.
Yeah.
You know, I never cheated. Like, I don't know. I didn't chase women. And I chased the nightlife. No. I like to boogie. I love being out, man. For me, like, I didn't go to the high school partying. You know, I didn't party in high school. I didn't go to college to party. So, you know. For me, man, listening to, like, Led Zeppelin 2 with my Native American friends and drinking beer all night, and that was alive, man.
That was enough, yeah.
You think those, like, when it's happening at that moment, you're at the moment, you think it's never going to get better than this, man. Like, you don't think you're going to be 40 one day and then 50 right. or 30.
Yeah.
So she ended up cheating on me, and she ran off with that guy. I never saw them again.
And your kids?
Yeah.
And what did you have? Boy, girl, two boys?
A boy and a girl from her.
Okay.
But this is funny how deep she was in cheating. She brought the guy over to the house and said that was my cousin and we're going to go to Texas. And they really were going to go to Texas. I helped her load. I helped this guy, the guy she was sleeping with, load all her stuff inside his car.
Wait a minute. You helped her pack up and leave.
Hell yeah, dog.
That sucks.
Dude. It was hurtful back then.
Oh, that is hurtful shit right
but,
there, man.
Dude, and then, like, when I talk about it now, cold. My saving grace is this. Like, I didn't give him gas money because I held back.
That was where you drew the line.
I drew a line, bro. Like, in my back of my head, I was thinking, should I give him gas money? Dude, not only that, she gave me like a hug in front of him and a kiss, told me she loves me.
And took the kids.
Took the kids.
Your kids.
Your kids and his car.
With this dude. and
to Mexico, I mean, or El Paso somewhere.
And gone.
Imagine, though, man, if I would have given him gas money, he could have three comedy specials based on that. Like, he would have had T-shirts, bro. It would have been memes.
Yeah, he would have had
merch. It would have been, not only was I fucking his chick, this guy gave me gas money. Even the sound guy is laughing. Yeah, man.
That's terrible, dude. That is,
isn't that crazy?
So then what? You don't try to track her down?
No, man.
When do you find out what happened? Her was cousin and she's been cheating on you and all that. When does that come out?
I found out she was cheating because the guy told me.
He did.
He told me. Right?
When?
He told me right after they had broken up, like, you know, because he felt bad. And I remember her like,
I know you fucked your back up that day loading up the truck.
Yeah,
man. I got something else.
He goes, I couldn't take it no more, man. He goes, when I was having an orgasm, I wasn't feeling good no more.
He's guilty.
I goes, I gotta tell you, homie. He showed me photos of her, him together, and I was like, that can't be her. She never that happy. You know, like, I try to joke around, you know, make a joke about it. I remember when she told me, man, when I confronted her, she wore glasses. And I remember, man, I was sad, and I just grabbed her glasses, and I broke them in half. Yeah, man. So,
okay, so when did you meet the next girl that you have a kid with?
No, I went to rehab.
You did? Before?
Yeah. I talked about it on This Is Not Happening. Mm-hmm. I got into a fight with some guy eventually when I was, like, living, you know, not doing nothing, you know. And I went to rehab for about a year and 3 months. So I lost contact with them whole time.
You were in rehab for a year and 3 months? For what? What were you?
Crack.
Are you for real?
Yeah, man. I was, like, 20 or 21.
So even though you couldn't have been a father anyway.
No, I started, like, picking up smoking crack after they left.
Oh, you did. It really fucked you. Damn, dude. Why a year and 3 months? Why 15 months of rehab? Is it?
I was there for like 7 months, 6 months, graduated. Yeah, they gave me a certificate, bro.
Graduated. The University of Crack.
University of Crack USA, man. My diploma was rolled up real thin, bro, so you could snort it. For real, man, there was heroin addicts at my graduation clapping and hitting their arms. I was there for about a year, but then I went back home.
But wait, I'm sorry. You said like 7 months you're there or whatever, and like, is it because it's that drug is that powerful and that addictive that they can't let you out yet?
No. I volunteered. Okay. Some of these guys that were there, they were sent by the court, you know, or like they were called back then. They were called N numbers, I guess. I guess when you get locked up, you started off with an A, and they run through all the numbers. Then it's B. So I guess when I was in my 20s. They were at N's.
Okay.
So they were called N numbers, and there were people that were locked up for drug offenses. So they were allowed to go to rehab or go to jail. Six months of jail of rehab was 4 months of sober living, which is 9 months, or one whole year of jail time. So these guys jumped on 6 months of sober. 3 and 4 months
but
of sober living.
Volunteer,
yeah.
You were like, I need help.
I was sent there by Father Greg Boyle from Homeboy Industries.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
yeah, he sent me there.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like the youngest. I can't believe it. Back then I was like one of the youngest kids there. I was 20-something, and there were people there that were 59, like heroin addicts. Like, man, I was just keep telling myself, I don't want to come back at this age.
Yeah, I don't want to be this guy.
Yeah, man.
In a crane here, yeah.
Giving haircuts for $5. I had a guy, dude, that he did 30 years in prison. Like, he did a stretch. He did 10. Got out. Was out for 3 months. Did another 10. Then got out and did another 8. You know what I mean? This guy cut my he gave me a haircut with razor blades.
Nah, just straight edge.
Like he had a scissors.
Yeah.
And the all this.
Yeah.
He did it with a razor blade, dude. Like.
Man,
he was like 62 years old, dude. He still had like a he's still boxing, old man. So when I come out of rehab, Father Greg Boyle tells me your daughter being baptized today. He tells me out of the blue. Oh, okay. So I go over there to the rehab, not to church.
Wait, what daughter? She's I thought they took her to Texas.
No, but they came back.
Oh, they did. Okay.
So they came back. You know, they were there visiting.
Oh! They were just—they weren't.
It was like a Texas trip, you know. But still,
gotcha.
I still helped them load their stuff.
Okay.
They could have went for the weekend. Eh?
Little 3-day weekend down to Texas. Yeah.
And I came out of rehab, and then I was there like I was home for a while, and Father Greg Boyle told me they're baptizing your daughter, and I said, really? Okay. So I wasn't even invited. You know, I haven't spoke to them in like in a year and a half now. So I just sat in the back, you know, and I watched it all go happen.
You did?
Yeah. My son
and they didn't even know you were there.
They didn't even recognize me. My son passed by and he didn't recognize me.
Dude, what did that feel like?
It felt weird. And then
you
I saw my
didn't say hi or reach. Nothing. You just didn't want anybody to know anything.
No, he didn't recognize me at all. Like, it didn't even click on here. Oh, this is my dad. Nothing. Like, I saw a ghost. Like, pretty much, I was invisible. And then I saw my daughter getting baptized by the same dude that I was, like, watching the dude baptizing my daughter. And it was, hey, that's the guy who helped load his stuff.
Nuh-uh. I wasn't really.
So, you know me, I put on my weightlifting belt and see if they want anything else to get packed.
You guys need help out of the church.
So I went over there, man, and I walked to the church where Father, where they were baptizing her, like before, like they were about to congratulate them. So I just walked over there. I didn't even look at the people looking at me because they thought they were going to go over there, like, kill somebody,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
They thought I was going to do something violent, you know, but that was like the farthest thing from my mind. I went over there and I just held my daughter for a little while and I gave it back to them.
What was that like?
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just gave it back to them and I went on my way.
And then when's the next time you saw them?
Like 18 years later, 17?
What, 18? All right, so that's what I want to talk about. Because now, obviously, in that 18 years, you have a third child. Is that you have a boy or a girl?
Yeah, I had a boy.
Okay. How long after your daughter's baptism do you have your next son?
I don't know, man. Like 6 years, okay. Maybe.
And how do you, what happens there? Why are you not in his life?
Well, I'm in his life.
But always?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole time you were. Okay.
Yeah, we lived together, and then like I would see him on the weekends, and I would take him to the Laugh Factory.
You would?
Wait with Brother Woods.
Yeah.
And, he got to see a lot of stuff.
Okay.
He knows his dad.
So you've been in his life the whole time, but you were separated from your other two kids for another 18 years. So recently, or somewhat recently, you reconnected, right?
Yeah, I think like in 2007 or 6 or 8.
How? What happened?
On Facebook.
Who made the connection?
My daughter did.
She reached out?
Yeah.
How old was she at the time?
I don't remember. 16, I think.
Okay.
Or 17.
And what was the first message?
I don't remember. She called me, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I remember she added me first. Because I remember I made a bit about it. I said, yeah, I met my daughter on Facebook. She left me a comment. We didn't get the child support. I had to block that bitch. You just came into my life. You're starting drama, bitch.
You just hit day one. Your first day.
Yeah, not changed. You're just like your mama.
So what happened? She called and said, did you know who it was right away?
No.
Do you remember what she said to you?
Oh, she left a message. You don't know me, but such and such. I am your daughter. And then we called. I called her from the...
Were you excited or
yeah,
nervous?
Yeah, I was doing a show at... I remember I was doing a show in Orange County with Edwin San Juan. Yeah, it was San Juan. It was a good night. I had a good set.
Did you talk to her before or after the show?
No, before the show.
I'll bet, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bet you were excited to take the stage after that. How'd the conversation go? Was it a good call?
I don't remember, man, but I remember telling my friends, hey, man, I just spoke to my daughter. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but they didn't know.
They didn't know shit. You
hadn't talked to her for 18 years.
Yeah.
They're probably like, that's nice. Good, yeah. Good for you. So then did your son come around quickly as well, or was it your daughter first? And then
It was my daughter first, yeah.
How long before your son was reaching out?
My son and my daughter had been coming to see my mom before I met them already.
All right.
So then one day we all met up.
Where did you meet?
I was living on 2nd and Main. Yeah, I was living on 2nd and Main. I remember I was sharing a loft with another comedian. That shit was expensive.
You talking about, it was Santa Monica?
No, I'm downtown LA.
Yeah.
Just at the 09, 08.
And what's the first thing? Did you see your daughter first or your daughter and son together when you finally met up?
No, I saw them both.
And where did you go?
I don't remember where we went. We went to go eat. Wait. I don't remember.
Do you remember what you talked about?
No, we didn't talk. We just
Nuh-uh.
We just took quiet. We just hung out.
It was a quiet meal?
Yeah.
Does that feel weird?
Nah.
No. That felt...
I didn't have much to say.
You ain't talked for 18 years. I guess it felt normal.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so you reconnect with your children through social media.
Yeah.
And what is the relationship like now? Are you guys all spending time together? Are you around each other? Do you see each other more?
Oh, when I was living at the loft, it was my son's birthday, and he wanted to have we're going to go have Thanksgiving at my mom's house. So my daughter came over, and she helped me clean up my whole loft. And we baked the cake. So I thought that was the first time we ever did anything together.
That's nice.
We baked a strawberry cake.
Yeah.
Like a good ass fucking strawberry cake, man. I read the whole recipe, bro. Like, I let my daughter know that I know how to cook. So it was about, we went to my mom's house, just her and I. And that was that one time. And we had a birthday party at my loft. For my son, I remember that because he wanted chicken enchiladas. So I had my wife make them, enchilada casserole. Mm-hmm. And he wanted me to make him a cake, and I made him a banana cake.
Damn, are you a good baker?
Yeah.
Are you?
I just followed the direction, Duncan Hines.
But you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like a lot of the Duncan Hines, a lot of the other stuff. But when you go look for the cake recipe, it tells you to use the box. So,
yeah.
And then you add extra stuff to it, like banana, the strawberries. But this is cool. I had a friend that was a DJ at the time, and he brought his karaoke stuff. And my daughter and I, we sang that Grease song, Summer Lovin', Happened This Way. And it was good. Like, it was like a bonding moment. And another time, my other son and I, we hung out with my daughter. This is funny. I went to have a car, so we went on a train down to Universal City Walk. And we just hung out, the three of us, on a train. I remember asking my son, you think Tuesday knows I'm her dad?
What's your daughter's name?
Tuesday.
Tuesday,
You think she knows, she thinks she considers me her father? And my son says, well, she calls you Felipe. So in 2010, I think, 2010, I went Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
And I'm at a barbecue. They invited me to a barbecue before I won. And the mom is there, right? And the mom is dating like a woman now. Mm. Right? So she's been wrong since day one. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not my fault. She was just trying to find her. It just took a long time to find herself. Yeah, so she was there, you know, with her. It's funny, the woman that she's with, I know her. We grew up together. Like, not grew up, like, We grew up, but I grew up seeing her.
Yeah.
She's really cool. You know, I got nothing against her, you know, but I know who she is. You know, she's not the same woman that I saw now. She looks more like a man now, but I know her. She's really cool. But when they were together, I was like, wow, you would think you would meet somebody out of the projects.
Oh, shit. So what was it like for your kids when you won Last Comic?
Well, I won Last Comic Standing, and I'm thinking, so the mom filed for child support the next day.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. The next day.
$118,000.
For number,
no, man, because I didn't pay no child support and those kids were born.
Oh, this is all back for two. Oh, okay.
And when you owe child support in California, it's not like other states, it accrues interest. So if you owe like $7,000, if you don't pay the whole year, by the end of the year, it's $9,000.
Shit.
And then like you don't pay that $9,000 plus the $7,000 for next year, that was $16,000 plus another $3,000.
Just so compound.
Now you owe $20,000.
Right.
So
she hit you for how much again? 100
for two kids, man. So everybody at NBC was really cool. So they told me that you know they're trying to someone just filed a child support case on you.
Nah.
And I said I didn't know. I was like, say what? Don't go there. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, goes, yes, I did. I do have two kids somewhere.
Somewhere.
Then she said, so NBC, like, they coached me because they're cool, man, NBC. They told me to go and get yourself incorporated first, and then we'll write the check to the corporation, and then you can write yourself a check to the child support. You know, that way they won't just grab the whole money and then give me my share.
Right.
Because they could do that. So I paid my child support, and
you paid what you owed.
What I owed,
not the $118,000.
Yeah, that's how much I owed. Two kids.
That was a legit number? Yeah. She wasn't just throwing
that
out?
No, man. That's how much it was.
Damn, and you had to pay that?
Yeah, man.
In one lump sum?
One lump sum.
Oh, man.
And then I had to pay the 10% to the agent.
I'm just seeing you with the glitter coming down. Shit. This is what people don't know the story. You know
bro,
what I mean?
I was paying glitter, bro.
The agent.
I was like Pops from regular show. Except he paid with lollipops. I was paying with confetti. Bro, I was cash broke for the first 6 months. Like, because I couldn't get a bank loan. I couldn't open a checking account or bank because of the child support. Because it had to clear, you know. So that happened. And my kids and I, we started like talking to each other more. I invited my son to a show. I took my daughter to a show and she loved it. And I had a show in Visalia once. In 2008, I think before Last Comic Standing. I know it was 2008 because Brad Williams, he was the headliner. And I was the opener. Somebody else was featuring. No, I was a featured act and some other cool comedian was the opener. And I remember it was fun, man. We were all three in the same hotel room. My son, my three kids, and my wife and her son. And we all were in the same, like, we drove to the show together, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, ExpressVPN. Now, we all know how a VPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But I didn't know this until recently, and it's taken my TV watching to the next level. You can use a VPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Over the weekend, I used ExpressVPN to binge Doctor Who on UK Netflix, all right? It was so simple. I just fired up the ExpressVPN app, I changed my location to the UK, I refreshed Netflix, and boom, that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. So you can choose from almost 100 different countries. Now, just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. If you love anime, you can go use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. Japanese Netflix, y'all. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast. All right, there's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, your phones, your media consoles, your smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on the go or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit my special link right now, expressvpn.com/honeydew, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's 3 months for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/honeydew. That's expressvpn.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. What's your favorite thing about being a dad now at 50?
I don't know.
Maybe it's your honesty.
I mean, I love them around. You know, my daughter, my
son. How old are they all now?
Son just had a baby.
Oh, you're a grandfather?
Yeah. My
damn, dude, are you?
My
Congrats.
Son had a baby, he's 7 or 8 years, 9 years old.
Okay.
And my daughter, she just came back from Sweden.
Well, you've been a grandfather.
Yeah, my daughter came from, she was living in Sweden for a year and 2 years. She had a baby and her man, her baby daddy lives in Sweden, so they were both, she was living in Sweden for about 2 years. Then she came back during a pandemic. Crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But it was crazy, man, because my daughter's sick right now. Well, my daughter has, she told me, well, it was crazy, man. Like, we're talking on Zoom. My daughter has breast cancer.
Oh, no.
And it's like terminal. It's like on her, it's in her bones already.
No.
Yeah, it was the saddest Zoom.
What?
The saddest Zoom call ever.
Your daughter's got terminal breast cancer right now?
Yeah, they gave her like 10 years to live or 15.
There's nothing
with
they
medication.
Can do.
What's in her bones? I don't know about breast cancer.
I you know. But cancer itself, I mean, she's got 10 to 15. How old is she now?
She's 89. 30?
Oh, man, that's young.
She cut it young, man. So any lady listening right now, if you're in your 20s, go check them boobs.
Yes, get your titties checked.
Because she didn't find out till she just felt like weird, you know, one day, and then all of a sudden they told her. But she was living in Sweden, because at first when they found out, I said, stay in Sweden, everything's free.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Dude, I said, stay in Sweden,
they
everything's
free. For you here.
Stay in Sweden, everything's free. And all her chemo was done in Sweden. Her medicine and all that, I don't think she paid a dime.
Wow.
And
that's the way it should be.
But the hardest part was for her, because she needed a place to stay now. I don't think her man worked it out. Dude, there were no apartments in Sweden.
Really?
There was not one apartment in Sweden. Like, it is easy. Like, you know, there's no apartments in Sweden. Like, it's not like, there are people, when people in Sweden have an apartment, it's like those people like in New York who never leave.
Right, they hold it.
Like, even if they move somewhere else, they still hold the apartment. And it's illegal to sublet it, but people still sublet. But there are no apartments in Sweden. So that's why she came back.
So now are you trying to spend as much time together as you can?
Yes, and we spend our first Christmas together.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, her and my grandson.
Was that nice? Did you have a good time doing that?
It was cool.
It's cool, too, because you have a grandson that probably still believes in Santa, and you get that all over again.
He's 2, yeah. And,
yeah.
I have to buy my daughter a wig because she's bald now. A cool. Damn, that wig was expensive, but you know.
You should get her a wig. Like, you should sell your
That's
hair.
What I was thinking the other day, man. Like, I was thinking, I was watching this video about, someone's daughter has breast cancer, and he called his hair bald. His hair completely bald, like, in honor of his daughter. And I'm thinking, well, what the fuck? Are you too cheap to buy her a nice wig or what? I'm keeping my hair, motherfucker.
You have good hair, dude. You have actually great
hair.
When
I see that, when people cut their heads off in honor of somebody, it ain't going to help, all right? Sorry. Here to tell you right now.
Get a wig.
Get a wig, man.
That was nice you were able to do that.
That's the great thing about it, you know, that I'm going to point my career where I could just do that, you know.
Yeah.
Have this happened, before Last Comic Standing, not only that, honey, I'm going to shave my pubic hair off.
I'm going to
shave my eyebrows out. I'm going to look like fucking powder.
Oh, that's good that you're there for her, though.
Yeah, I'm there. We talked when my daughter left. My daughter came to visit me last year during Christmas, before Christmas. And we got along, and we talked every single day. Like, when she went back to Sweden, before she came back, every day, like, good morning, how are you? It's weird, because in Sweden, they have, like, dark nights forever, you know? I don't know.
Like that Alaska, like 23 hours of darkness or something like that? Yeah.
So my daughter and I, we, like, speak every day since the last time we saw each other. So, yeah. She's here now, but when she went to, this is the first time I told anybody about that, by the way. I don't want people like, oh, what can we do? What can you do?
Yeah, you can just love hard and
that's live it, man.
And enjoy each other.
Tell jokes.
That's it. That's what this show is all about.
Like, I made her laugh the other day, I said, because I have a bit now, you know, like, one of my shows was sold out, and somebody sent me this email. He said, can you help me out, man? We're trying to get to your show. It's my wife's 9th anniversary, and she has lupus. Her mother died of COVID-19. My brother was killed in a drive-by shooting. Is there any way you can help us out? And I emailed that guy back. I said, I'm sorry, man, but I cannot have that much bad luck in my show.
Thinking the same thing. I'm like, I don't know.
I'm sorry, man. I'm
scared to be around.
I don't do spiritual cleansings, man. They're not an egg big enough to roll over on your bad luck family. I can't be having a good time, bro, while everybody laughing. I look over there and you're feeding your mom, bro. I cannot. So if someone dies on the way home, I'm gonna be blaming your fucking shitty family, bro. I cannot have it.
I don't blame you one bit. As you were hitting the list, I'm like, I wouldn't even go near this one. This black cat right here. Fuck this shit.
They're like, what the fuck? Hey, don't bring that shit to me.
Y'all live under a ladder? I mean, goddamn.
I saw Apocalypto, eh? Fear is a bad disease.
I would have been the same. I'd be like, good luck to you, brother, because it sounds like you're in for it.
I'm sorry, man. Hey. Oh, I can't be looking at your family over there, bro, and somebody has to lie about it, bro.
Now, how about your kids? Do your all three of your kids get together? Do they talk?
Yeah, they do, actually. My sons, they text each other.
That's good. And their kids... Do all your kids have children or just one
just
daughter?
Two of them.
Just two.
Just two okay. of them.
Man, that's great. You're a fucking grandfather. You got a lot going on and you got time. That's the other thing. You have time.
Yeah, man.
You know, you have time. You don't have to wake up one day and it's, oh my God, you've got time. And now what do you do with that time? And how do you make that count?
I know, man. Ever since the pandemic, I've just been taking my acting class on Tuesdays on Zoom. Mm-hmm. I got to be on Superstore for 3 more episodes before they canceled the show.
Good.
And I did a movie with The Guest House last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And that Steve Byrne movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a movie during the pandemic with a Mexican actor named Omar Chaparro.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a box. It was good, man.
Is it a comedy or?
It's a serious movie.
Is it?
I noticed it was a serious movie when they started taking away my funny lines.
Oh, really? They were written first, and then they started scaling back?
Yeah, and then the scene got too intense, and then I was, like, waiting for my line, and then my funny line would look more like in bad taste.
Ah, yeah.
Like, there was a scene where somebody they're yelling at somebody, right? And then somebody gets beat up, eh? And I was supposed to say something like, yeah, brown lives don't matter.
Yeah, that comes across in poor taste. Oh, shit. So what goes through your mind? Like, what do you think about? Do you think about what you want to do and how you want to spend that time with your daughter? Like, what? And then you're stuck in a fucking pandemic, so it's not like you can go places really readily. Like, what do you do?
I'm more worried about like her safety because, you know, if she catches it, she's right. done. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no coming back. You know what I mean? She already has. It'll just help. It'll shorten her time here.
Right.
So that's my fear. But she's at home right now. She's applying for a bunch of stuff, you know, for Medi-Cal and cancer treatment and all that. She's looking for all that stuff right now here in America.
Does it make you think about your own mortality and your death and stuff like that?
Man, I've done cocaine off the floor, bro. I should have died a long time ago.
It is the truth, though. I bet it is the truth. Like, when it's time, it's your time. It's your time, believe me. Yeah,
I'm like, I feel like some people are like, you're like in this, the old cleaners, you know, like they have in New York, the old cleaners where you need that number,
mm-hmm.
and that thing just spins and spins and spins, and they lost my number, bro. So I'm just hanging on.
Just wait until they figure it out. Like, oh, here it is. Here it is.
I'm just waiting for somebody to say, you know what? That's my jacket.
You know what I've noticed in my life, at least? It seems like death will come in, and it'll sweep. It'll take a few, and then it's gone for a while. And then it comes back, and it's these two or these three, and then it's gone for a while. And I'm like, ooh, I just don't want to be. I don't know when my time is going to be swept up in that little death dustbuster, but it comes around and gets
you. I know.
You.
Like, if I worry about, like, catching COVID, you know, how good are my lungs, you know?
Yeah.
Can I hang?
Right.
Can I still hit bowls?
What about your father growing up? Were you close with your dad?
Yeah, my dad was always there. My dad, growing up, he worked for a company called Pike, P-I-K-E. And he was a arc welder, I guess. Mm-hmm. He wore the mask.
Yeah.
And... My dad worked every single day of his life, I guess. My dad was part of the team that welded the Panama Canal.
No shit.
The Panama Canal was a project, an American project, but people think that it was built in the Panama. No, nice. Man, that job was most of those metal shop. The metal part of the job. We're all put together in America, and then they shipped it to Panama to put it together.
I didn't know that. Is that right?
Yeah.
So they assembled here.
Assembled here in America,
and then sent there to be finished.
Yeah.
No shit.
The metal parts were put together in America. The cement was done over there.
Gotcha. And your dad was part of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom told me. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought he just went to work every day. My dad was one of those dudes that will get dressed up. My dad would get paid and get dressed up on Friday night, and then we would never see him again till Sunday.
Oh, really? He'd just go out and rip it up. That's maybe where you get it, the nightlife.
Yeah, man. When my dad had on, when he was dressed up, you know he was not going to come back.
So when do you, at what age for you do you really start getting in trouble?
Like, in trouble? Like, what kind of trouble?
Well, just in the neighborhood and running with the wrong crowd and, you know.
Probably, well.
You said you were a usual suspect. At what age did you start getting in trouble?
All my friends that I grew up with, they are, most of them, ended up being bad. But I already knew, I was already running with them since we were 12.
Right.
So we kind of, like, grew into it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go down that path that they did, you know.
How old were you when you first got arrested?
I never really got arrested, man. I got arrested for, like, lying, you know. Like, one time I was afraid, so I used my brother's name.
Okay.
So I got arrested for his name.
You used his name.
And he had more warrants than me.
That shit backfired. Oh, shit.
Or I would get, like, I will be in downtown LA and I run a red light, you know, like walking, and there's a cop there give me a jaywalking ticket and I throw it away. And then like 5 years later, You know, that's a warrant. I didn't even know.
Is it really?
Yeah.
They put a warrant out for you on that? I didn't know they put a warrant out.
Because I don't know how much a warrant was back, how much a jaywalking ticket back then was $100. But now they add a 70% assessment to it. No, a 70% assessment or a 110% assessment. So you have a warrant for $500. But when you get there, with the court charges and everything they do to the warrant, it becomes $1,200.
Damn.
They got to make the money.
And if you don't pay it, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
There on that spot that day when you didn't plan on, you had shit to do later. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got lucky. That time, there were so many people there for like, for small cases, for small offenses, riding on a wall, pissing in public, running red lights, jaywalking, that the judge came. I remember the judge coming out and I was sitting there. First of all, I was scared, dude. I've never been in jail before, you know? And I remember, man.
How old are you?
Oh, man, 20.
Okay.
I was sitting there, dude. And I remember just sitting there in the court with a bunch of dudes. And then a bunch of chained up men came in. And they were all wearing red. We're all wearing civilian clothes. But some people were wearing blue, county jail blues. But these guys came in wearing orange. And they had, like, some of them had red wristbands. And my dumb ass started asking questions. It was so with these fools.
Nah.
Oh, man, those are high power guys. And I didn't know what high power was or nothing, dude. So I'm just sitting there, you know. So then one of the dudes sits next to me. And he sits like a gentleman, dude. Like, everything about him, his posture, everything about him looked like he's been to a lot of high class places, but it was just the way he acts. But he never been to no high class anything. He was just a gentle guy. Anyway, so we're sitting there chilling in that, and then some black dude is asking people if they have zigzags. And I remember I had a zigzag, and he was gonna trade it for an apple, right? So I trade a zigzag for an apple. So I took my zigzag out, and the dude that was just sitting there like a gentleman. He fucking snatched my hand away from that black dude. And he said the most racial thing I ever heard in my life. Right in front of the guy. And he said, just don't give this guy anything. Oh, fuck this guy. Right in front of him, fuck this guy. And I just put my hand down and shit right there. And I didn't do nothing. I was scared as fuck. I didn't want to leave now. Unless that guy said I could leave. So...
Yeah.
So I didn't know there was prison politics. You couldn't talk to another race or nothing like that. So after that, I just learned right away not to talk to anybody. So that dude right there became the only guy I ever spoke to. And he just told me that. But this guy said some wild stuff, man. Like,
was he a white dude?
Mexican dude. Like.
And when you say high power, was he high ranking?
No,
like,
high, they were murderers.
That's what I'm saying.
They were all murderers. These guys were all murderers.
All of them.
They just happened to have traffic violations, too.
So they were out, and that's when they got
snagged. They came in. Like, we were already in jail. These guys came in at 4 in the morning, and then they were shipped in. But it was crazy, man. That guy, as soon as that guy said that guy knew it right away, and his eyes said, I'm sorry, and he just went about his business.
How long were you in there?
A full 8 hours.
8 hours.
In 8 hours, I learned everything there is to know about prison.
What's the craziest shit, or some of the craziest shit you've seen growing up in your neighborhood back in the day? I know you came on the crab feast. You had wild stories of your growing up days.
I'm trying to remember. I saw this guy, man. There was this guy named Wolf. You know, that's his gang name. His real name, I never knew his real name. This guy was huge. He was like, he had like little legs, but he had an upper body strength. He smiled. He had a ruby in his tooth.
A ruby?
A ruby. Like a red, like a bling bling.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had, it was like it was like a gold plated around a white part, but inside the white part, he had a red ruby. And I saw this guy, man, and where I lived, there was Housing Authority Police Department, and there was LAPD. Housing Authority, they patrol the housing projects, LAPD, the whole city. But Housing Authority goes inside the projects. LAPD cruises outside of the projects.
Okay.
But Housing Authority Police, they have the same authority as the police, as the LAPD. They could arrest.
I didn't know that. Okay.
They could shoot.
They can?
Yeah, they have guns. And so I'm just chilling, man, and whatever, man. I'm little dude. I'm 12. I'm at the bus stop, just sitting at a bus stop, watching the world pass by. And I see one of Wolf's friends just walking, and he's arguing with a police officer about something. Then a police officer grabs him and tries to handcuff him. And then I see the other police officer, that guy Wolf, grabs him by the shirt and starts pounding him, man.
Wolf's beating one of the cops?
Yeah, man. Beating his ass. And then the other cop comes and hits him in the leg.
Those little ass legs?
And he don't even move, bro.
His legs split up.
Oh, man. And he stretches a billy club from them. And they're beating the shit out of him. And fuck, man. I practically peed on my pants, man.
You're watching this dude.
Watching his violence. I was in shock. I was shocked, man. Like PTSD and shit watching this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's going on. And I put it behind me, whatever. Every time I see that guy Wolf, I would get scared. Like, what else is he gonna do, you know? I saw him fight this black dude named Ryan, I think. And it was one of those fights, bro. Like, you ever seen the movie, those street fights? Like,
They Live.
They Live.
Roddy Piper.
Or Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those kind of fights that last forever.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody pour gasoline on that guy, Wolf.
What?
And that guy said, listen, man, if you don't stop, I'm going to light yourself on fire.
Holy shit. Fuck that, man.
And
I was always
there when that guy was about to do violent shit, man. Like, I was like always there at the right time for him. And then how I noticed that he had that ruby was one time out of nowhere, man, he just started talking to me. And he told me, you have a girlfriend? And I said, no, I don't have a girlfriend. But I was like 15 or 16 years old then. He goes, you got to eat their pussy. He's like a grown man telling a 16-year-old kid, they got to eat their pussy. And I said, and I asked like a dumbass, how?
That's a fair question.
Wow, bro. Keep in mind that there's a bunch of other... five other guys drinking 40-ouncers, you know, wearing their fedora hats, their trench coats, looking G'd up, man. You know how our 80s gangsters supposed to look. You know, they got their khakis, their Stacy Adams, their hats. They're looking good, man. But this dude over there telling me how to eat pussy, man. Like, he should be over there with your friends. And he's breaking it down, bro. And it was all graphic, man. Like, I hadn't even seen a vagina before. But he's like showing me, you know... He goes,
He's breaking it down.
You got to lift it up, man. He goes, you got to grab their lips. You got to lift it up. And then a little penis is going to come out. Don't get scared.
Don't get scared.
And I'm like, what? She has a... She has a penis?
Oh, shit.
She has a penis, too? No. It's a clit, mijo. No, he goes, once you pull it up, once you put the wings up, it'll just pop out.
Now it's gone.
He goes, and then it'll pop out. It'll just pop out. So then then you go like this, man. That's when I see the ruby in his mouth.
That's
and he
when
starts
you saw
doing
it.
His tongue, you know.
That is a creepy ass way to find out how to eat pussy.
It was gross.
The wings are killing me. The wings. It's got wings.
Yeah, man. But the craziest shit I saw was that was I was leaving a Little League game in 1980 or I don't remember the year, but you could look it up. It really happened. I was in San Francisco doing a show once, and there was like a liberal, those liberal books, you know, those whatever anti-fascist books, fascist books, communist books, you know, corporate books, whatever, all kind of political books. But there was one book there about a guy who was killed in my neighborhood, a communist member named David something. You could look it up. David Mendez or David, I don't know, but if you look it up.
Did you know
Google
him
it.
Or know
Pico
of
Aliso
him?
Murder of communist leader David. I didn't know he was a communist when I was a little kid.
But you knew of this guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was riding my little Huffy with a little streamers on the side of the thing. And my friend had his PK Ripper, you know, whatever. And we were just cruising. And there were these guys that would come to my neighborhood and protest all the time. But we didn't know who they were. We were too young. We just called them the kids, the dudes with a red flag. Because they would come with a red flag.
Okay.
But I didn't know they were part of the Communist Party. But they would come into my neighborhood and have protests in front of everybody. And then they would pass out food and, you know, and check up on kids, you know, like if they had measles or they'll do like stuff like that, you know, like they're winning the hearts of the people, what they're really doing. Now I know. Back then I didn't know. So they will come in and they'll feed us like, oh, free lunches. Oh, all right. Everybody's coming out. But then they'll start doing their little speeches and it was all like anti-government stuff. But I didn't know this, you know. I learned this later on. But that's what they were talking about. We're watching them speak. Then a bunch of gang members from another neighborhood. I don't know who they were. They were from the projects. They get into a fight with all these red guys, you know, a bunch of them. It was like a melee, bro. Like, my friends and I who were there, Rafa, Angel, Jackie, we saw that guy get stabbed, bro. Like, he got stabbed to death.
Like, right there, like that.
Right in front of everybody. Like, he got stabbed by this one guy. Pop, 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 pop.
Damn.
And, like, there's blood everywhere, dude. So, as soon as we saw that, we fucking got scared, and we took off with our bikes to the other side of the projects. And we saw, like, LAPD, you know, and they were roughing up someone else in the projects. But they didn't know what's going on over there because they didn't know none of that. So the next day I went over there because I had summer school and there was blood all over the they hadn't even cleaned up the blood. There was a lot of blood. Then I saw a couple of communist guys just walking around. I guess they were released from jail. But, I mean, I saw what I saw. But when I read the article in San Francisco, they said that the LAPD knew that he was a communist, so they killed him.
Wait, they said what? They knew he was a communist?
And the LAPD killed him.
The LAPD did it.
Yeah,
You watched, huh?
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't.
Wow.
But this guy was a leader of the... I didn't know he was a leader of that group. He was. Right. I didn't know back then, but he was. And he was also... He started another rally somewhere else where he became known for that. But to this day, man, I didn't know there was communist people preaching and Boyle Heights
in the
late 80s, early 80s.
I learned a lot today with you, man. Something I ask everybody that comes on for the first time is advice they would give to their 16-year-old self. Knowing what you know, knowing what we've talked about today, if you could go back and tell your 16-year-old self something, what would you say?
I would tell my 16-year-old self to start writing now. Yeah, Start writing everything that happened to you.
That's
like
a good
keep
one.
A memoir of the things you see. Because a lot of stuff I don't even remember now.
Yeah. That's great. I'm really sorry to hear about your daughter.
Oh, that's okay,
tough
man.
News, dude.
We're dealing with it. And she's every once in a while, you know, I'm going to lie, man. Like, I didn't break down today, but, you know, because I've been dealing with it for the last 4 months now. And the first time was a shocker because it was like, she was sad, you know, and, you know, like, so I would just, you know, like, you want to spend so much time with your kids. You know, but you know it's going to be limited now, and it's kind of sad.
And she's got children.
Yeah, she has a 2-year-old.
Who's going to be without
a single mom?
She's a single mom.
A single mom, and one thing about my daughter, I know that she's very strong compared to like how I would have handled it. You know, I would have been like, "Fuck this," you know, "Why me?" I would have went, you know how we do it, man. As a drug addict, you try to find any excuse to go back to using drugs. So I'm glad I didn't go back to using drugs this time because
yeah.
It would have been a perfect time. But my daughter, we might start a podcast together because she wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
so we're thinking about doing it.
That'd be great.
So maybe we'll do it because her name is Tuesdays. So we'll call it Tuesdays with Tuesday or something.
Tuesdays with Tuesday.
And
dude, also imagine how much you're gonna get to learn about your daughter sitting there doing that all those years. And I mean, most people never get that opportunity.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a personal question? Will you take your grandson? Who's gonna take care of her son?
Oh,
what are plans
when my daughter and I, when she told us that she had terminal cancer and it was in her bones already. And because at first I thought that, okay, breast cancer, okay, maybe she might lose a boob. I saw a lady with no boobs and she's still alive. But that's like, that was not in their bones. Oh, my daughter, she had a plan already about her baby. She already had planned it out, you know, that she had a best friend who can't have a baby.
That's
so
nice.
Right now she's staying with her and her man. So they have a room for her. But I'm also, like, involved, too, with the son. Like, I'm going to end up taking him, too, half of the time.
Yeah.
So I'm going
to
have
a
son.
You just went through not being able to have a baby as well.
Yeah.
Now you get to have a grandson live with you.
Mm-hmm. We haven't told my mom yet, but cause she's old, you know.
Yeah.
And she has Alzheimer's now, so I want to keep telling her.
Well, dude, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Ryan Sickler.
Going deep with me on this. Do please promote everything again. Your podcast, your merch, put your mask, all of it, Felipe.
What's up, Food Podcast? And go check that out, cocksuckers. It's not about the hee-hees and the ha-has. I ain't going nowhere. I was born in L.A. If time gets bad for me in L.A., I'll just move to Bakersfield.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
You got it. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.